So happy Pentecost Day. I love a party, don't know about you. And indeed, the party that God gave the church in the New Testament was a good one, was a very good one, because all the Jews and those who followed the Jewish faith that weren't born into the faith came to see what was happening. 3,000 of them. You know, what was going on? And what was going on was that the power of the Holy Spirit had come down on the disciples. Are you all right without the... Switch the microphone off. There you go. The power, it's obviously not got the power of the Holy Spirit in this thing, has it? The power of the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples, okay? And it tells us they had flames coming out of their heads, and they were all speaking in different languages, not the language of the Holy Spirit, but in other people's earthly languages. And poor Sarah had to read the whole. It's one of those passages, isn't it, with all those long names in it. And yeah. Anyway, thank you for doing that. I'm not repeating it. But the thing was that all these different nationalities heard what was being said. And what was being said was all about the power of God and what, all the works of God that had been done. They were hearing this thing. Now, I just want to say, I have never seen flames above people's heads. I've never heard and been in a situation whereby people are hearing God's word in their own languages. It's not normative, okay? But the Holy Spirit, to us, needs to be normative. And the gift of tongues, praying in tongues, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a linguistic gift, which is still used today. And these people had rushed to see what was going on. And probably what they saw, looking through the room where the disciples was this huge, great, big wind that came from nowhere. It came from heaven, but, there was no knowing which source it came from. And they said, they must be drunk. Now, I have been to some parties in my life. I can assure you, to my knowledge and memory, I've not been drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Possibly 9 o'clock in the evening, but not 9 o'clock in the morning. And it was Peter who recognised the Holy Spirit come upon them. And it was Peter, the guy who, a few days before denied Jesus 3 times, who filled with the Holy Spirit, stood with the other 11 disciples, they were backing him up, and said, "We are not drunk. It is the fulfilling of the prophecy from Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out Spirit upon all flesh." Now, why he said that, I think, was because Joel was a prophet in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the Spirit does appear, but it's on specific individuals for a short period of time. Think of Gideon, think of Samson, think of David. Yeah? For a short period of time. But now it's available to every single one of us. So that's why Peter was grounding his sermon, if you like, in the Old Testament. And never forget, it says at the beginning of John's Gospel that Jesus was there at the beginning, and the beginning was the Word, and he was in the Word, yeah? So everything uttered in the Old Testament was Jesus' Word too. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that. So what about the Holy Spirit? I think if you were a Christian in those days, you must have been so patient it was untrue. So patient. Because the Holy Spirit, as I said in Joel, in the prophet's Joel's reading that was read, you know, hundreds of years before Christ. Moses foretold that the Spirit, Jesus, would come. Joel did. Isaiah did. And when it came into the New Testament, for want of a better description, John the Baptist said, you know, you will have a Holy Spirit come upon you. And then Jesus came and said, wait, just a little bit longer. So they'd waited hundreds of years, and he's asking them to wait a bit longer. Now, Pentecost is a word. It means the 50th day. And Pentecost is the 50th day after the Passover. Yeah? So just think what has happened since that Passover and the disciples in the upper room. And Jesus speaking with them and the Last Supper. 50 days they had to wait. And they had to wait 10 days after Jesus' ascension. The thing about Pentecost is that it was originally a celebration of harvest. But then it morphed into Moses having the first Passover in Exodus, and obviously morphed into the Passover with Jesus in the upper room, yeah? So it's a very, very important, very, very important day. And what about the Holy Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit? So we need the Holy Spirit to continue that harvest, the harvest that Pentecost originally meant. Now, the Holy Spirit had a bit of a bad press these last few years. People were afraid of the Holy Spirit. But if we had time, and we would read the whole of chapter 14 in John, we would find out a bit more about the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to paraphrase it a bit. So to put it into context, the disciples are, again, all together, and they're in the upper room after the Passover. So pre-Easter, we're going back in time a bit now. And this is where Jesus explains that he's going to go away and prepare a room for each one of us for when we die. And Thomas says to him, we don't know how to get there. We don't know the way, Lord. And then Jesus responded, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's important. That's very, very important to remember. You know, there's lots of good things about other religions. Lots of good things. And the Holy Spirit is still available for them to find the way through to God through Jesus. That's the only way. And then Philip. Now, if I were a disciple at that time, I think I'd be just as stupid as Philip, actually. Questioning as Philip. Because Philip says, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And I can only imagine Jesus going. Because he goes on to say, I've been with you all this time, Philip. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Everything I've spoken has been a divine word from God. And if you don't believe those, believe the divine acts that I've undertaken. And then he goes on to say, I'm in the Father, the Father is in me, and I need to go back to the Father, so you will have the Holy Spirit come upon you. So we have the Trinity. We have the Trinity, close-knit, very well explained in chapter 14. And it says to us, if we keep his commandments, the Holy Spirit will be available to us. And we will have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity inside us. Jesus has been present and walking beside us, but now he can be within us. And we have the choice of whether we accept the Holy Spirit or otherwise. And Jesus goes on to say that if we do accept the Holy Spirit, we will be able to do greater things than he. I can only imagine that what he meant, I don't know if this is the only reason, it's one of my reasons. He would have known of the list of the nationalities that we read in Acts, and that was the known world at the time. we have a greater knowledge of more nationalities in the whole world. And it's for us to go and speak to everyone about God. So that's the only thing I can think of. And he goes on to say that if you ask me for anything, I will give it to you. Yeah, you need to read other versions of the Bible to get behind that. Basically, if we ask him for anything, if we ask Jesus for anything, he will give it to us as long as we have sought his will. Yeah? That's the caveat to that. And it's up to us whether we choose to accept the Holy Spirit. And it is in Isaiah, it states the reason, or one of the reasons for the Holy Spirit. It's about the mission that Jesus was preparing his disciples for. You know, they'd gone and done great things and they'd been out in the mission field, but Jesus was there with them. They now had to do it, in their eyes, without the physical presence of Jesus. Holy Spirit again. So does Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. That is on us to do as well. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, we ask for the Holy Spirit, it is God's power. I could not stand here and speak to you as I'm doing now without the Holy Spirit. It would be a very, very, very poor imitation if I did. I need the Holy Spirit. It's very important because that brings the power down to us. And we need that power. We need that so we can do these things. And the Holy Spirit gives us unity as well. Always thinking of the cross. So the unity comes down from God into us. So we are one with the Father as we as well are one with Jesus. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are unified as disciples. Unity comes again. So it's the unity together as we go out and speak the word of God. Holy Spirit also helps us to be obedient to God and to seek his will and to listen to him and go and do things. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, those things are probably too difficult to do in your own strength. The Holy Spirit will teach us. He will be revealing the scriptures to us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I read the Bible and I'm scratching my head big time. Don't get it. And yet at other times, maybe when I'm reading a passage which I know extremely well, God will bring something else into my mind and reveal something else to me that I've never thought of or heard before. So he's a teacher as well. And he gives us wisdom. Along with that wisdom, if we go back to chapter 14, it says the peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you peace, but my peace, which goes beyond all human understanding. I think if we listen to the radio, read the newspapers, watch the TV, we find suggestions that peace has been brokered. Gaza, Israel, Ukraine and Russia. But those elements of peace are imposed and upheld by arms, by men being threatening, by walls going up, by lines being drawn. That's an earthly peace. The peace that Jesus gives us is totally and utterly different. I'm sure you've felt peace come into your lives at some point, and you know that something is right. you know something has just got to be, or you're worried about a situation and you pray about it and it comes to you, that peace which passes all understanding. So indeed, we do need that Holy Spirit. We do need the Spirit of Pentecost. And it's not just for today. People have said, you know, the Holy Spirit only came at Pentecost on that day for the disciples. Or I had the Holy Spirit come upon me when, you know, I was first converted. The Spirit needs to come upon us, and we need to ask the Spirit into our lives on a frequent, daily basis. Peter, if we go on to read in Acts, asked to be filled with the Spirit time and time again, and that's what happens. I don't know, if we ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, we might be sitting here with flames coming out of our heads and speaking in Mesopotamian, is there if such a language? Who knows? But God gives us what we need. God understands what we need. And that Holy Spirit will be given to us in measure and in ways that we need, that we perhaps don't know ourselves. So my prayer for all of us is that we ask the Holy Spirit into our lives. And we ask that Holy Spirit to give us power, to help us be obedient, to learn and to bring peace. Peace in our hearts for everyone. Amen.